Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game, Nashville Studios. Ian is here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
Can you understand all the people that are talking about the free agency the Predators had yesterday? And they're saying, can you believe it? They're saying, can you believe the free agency that the Predators had yesterday, Jared? Can you believe it? And I'm thinking to myself, yes? Like, what can I not believe? The Predators had a crap load of cap space, and the Predators said they were going to spend the cap space. Tampa Bay decided they didn't want to keep Steven Stamkos anymore. Brady Shea was always going to be on the market. I mean, I this is going to sound crazy, but I mean, I'm not shocked by this. And yet all I keep hearing, can you believe it? And it's not just from people around here. You know, Pierre LeBrun wrote a story in The Athletic today basically about how the hockey world couldn't believe it. And they were doing TSN yesterday and they couldn't believe it. And they couldn't. I'm like, you can't believe it. I mean, Barry Trotz came on the show last Monday. He said, we're in the mix on the big names. What'd they do? They signed the big names. He said, we want to add a piece up front. He said, we want to add a piece in the back. Said, we're going to be spenders. You shocked? But here's the big question, and I ran a poll today on Twitter, or I guess as Twitter would like to be called, X. And it is, are the Predators now legit 2025 Stanley Cup contenders? Not do the Predators think they're contenders. Barry Trotz isn't spending all this money to get close. He's not spending all this money to almost win. But are they actually, at the end of the day, are they legitimate cup contenders? And the polling, for most of you, says yes. Right now, 78% of the vote says yes. Legitimate 2025 cup contenders. I saw my friend and colleague at Mad Dog Radio at SiriusXM, the great Linda Cohn. She said yes on Twitter. She saw the moves and said they are cup contenders. And Linda is not just throwing that out of her tush. If Linda thinks it, she's saying it. And again, I know Barry didn't make these moves to almost win. So they're going for it. No doubt about that. But again, can you actually envision them hoisting the cup over their head? Because if you can't, then I'm not actually sure what all this is about. So here's where I think the Predators really lie. In the NHL, the margins are razor thin. We talk about that all the time, right? Oh, you know, this power play goal and the ref called it offside and they should bring it back, but then they did the replay and it was, you know what I'm talking about. The difference between a first round defeat, which normally is the middle of April or the beginning of May, and going to the cup final, which is in late June, this year almost July, I mean, the feelings of the difference between a first-round exit and a cup appearance are massively different. I know because I experienced it. You know, people in 2019 were not happy when the Predators lost that series to the Dallas Stars. 2 years before they lost the cup final, everybody was thrilled. But the reality of the difference is really not that big. For example, I look at the 2015 Predators who lost to the eventual cup champion Chicago Blackhawks in a series, I think, just like this Vancouver series this past year, they probably could have won, and more probable than not, they probably should have won. They blew a 3-goal lead in Game 1, they lost Game 4 in triple overtime, and they blew a 3-1 lead in the first period in Game 6. So they were right there with the team that ended up winning the cup. Again, the margins are tiny. In fact, you go back to Game 6 of that series, it was a face-off with about 1 second left at the end of the first period where Taves won it back to Kane, who put it in the net, and all of a sudden it was tied 3-3. You ended up losing 4-3. At the end of the day, whether you're a true contender or not, it's not about where you finish. There are teams that lose in the first round every year that are legit contenders. But last year's team probably wasn't a true contender because when all was said and done, they didn't have enough firepower. We talked about it during the regular season. We talked about it during the playoffs. It was abundantly clear during the playoffs, especially when they couldn't score on the power play. They did not have the weaponry in order to compete for the cup. They averaged 2 goals a game in the Vancouver series, and Vancouver played with backup goalies. Guys, that wasn't good enough. At the same time, I think we can all agree, by adding Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault, and a defenseman who scores as much as Roman Josi does, that they've probably addressed that. The power play, as we said, was an unmitigated disaster in the Vancouver series. They've addressed it. 16 teams make the playoffs every year in the NHL. My theory is if you don't make the playoffs, you suck. 2 years ago, the Predators didn't make the playoffs by, what, Ian, a point?
I think so, yeah.
1 point. That team sucked. So if you don't make the playoffs in this league, you stink, which means that everybody who doesn't make the playoffs is not good, and everybody who does make the playoffs isn't necessarily a cup contender. Kind of similar to the NFL. You know, the Steelers have been the 7th team in the wild card a couple of times since we've added the 7th team, and that Steelers team did not belong in the playoffs. That Steelers team never had a chance to win a Super Bowl. Mason Rudolph last year was not going to go on the road, beat Josh Allen, go back on the road, beat Lamar Jackson, go back on the road and beat Patrick Mahomes. Just not going to happen. So just because you make the playoffs in the NHL, and anything can happen in the NHL playoffs, does not mean that you were a legitimate contender, because I'm not sure you were last year, and there were definitely teams like Washington that were not. Of just going through last year again, because the question is this year's Predators team a legitimate cup contender? Just going back to last year, I think there were probably 8 teams that legitimately had a shot to win the playoffs or win the cup in the playoffs, some more than others. Florida, obviously. Edmonton, Dallas, the Rangers, Vegas, Boston. I put Colorado in there because they've got Nathan MacKinnon and they've got Cale Makar, and I put Carolina 8th. Carolina was really good last year. They just ran into New York in that first round, and it really, you know, they didn't have much of a chance. But everybody else probably didn't have a deep enough team to win the cup. Tampa, L.A., Winnipeg, Toronto, the Islanders, Washington, Vancouver, Nashville. And to me, that feels about right. Maybe you could argue that Carolina wasn't a real cup contender last year or not. Maybe you could argue that Tampa was really a cup contender. Toronto, you could argue, was a cup contender. I think Toronto's goaltending was not good enough for them to consider, you know, to consider them a cup contender, but that's just me. So, again, that's just what kind of feels about right. According to FanDuel this morning, the Predators were plus 2,000 to win the cup, 10th highest odds in the league. Now, there are some in there that I don't really understand. Toronto's plus 1,500. I don't know why we would think that Toronto all of a sudden, you know, is a cup contender because they added Chris Tanev, but whatever. So Vegas is like, okay, when it comes to the Predators, they're not in the top 8. But then again, some of it too is what have you done for me lately, and some of it is how popular are you? You know, the Dallas Cowboys, I think, always get artificially bumped up because people love to bet them in Vegas, whereas, you know, who's really talking about the Titans? So again, the question is, are you actually a cup contender? What I feel very strongly about is that the moves the Predators made yesterday, in my opinion, put them past Vancouver in last year's playoffs. And it probably puts them into the top 3 of the division, along with Dallas, who is stacked and will continue to be stacked, and Colorado with Nathan MacKinnon. Once you get to the second round of the NHL playoffs, it is kind of a who made the play, which goalie stood on his head, who didn't make the play kind of thing, which is why we see guys like Nathan MacKinnon lose in the second round of the playoffs, or we see guys like Connor McDavid in the past lose in the second round of the playoffs, or we see teams like the Boston Bruins, legitimate cup contenders, lose in the second round of the playoffs. Because, again, the 2018 Predators won the President's Trophy. They lost in the second round of the playoffs because they had to play Winnipeg, who was probably the second-best team in the league that year. So once you get past the first round of the playoffs in the NHL, then it really becomes, because again, these margins are so razor thin, it really becomes a who scored the big goal, who's clicking on all cylinders. You know, Pekarinen got hot in that 2017 run. So once you get to that second round, it's kind of a toss-up to a certain extent, even for a team like Florida, who lost in the second round 2 years ago. Still kind of a little bit of a toss-up. Which again takes me back to this Predators team. Because I think that the moves yesterday get you past Vancouver where you were last year, and they get you into that second round of the playoffs, when really that is when the anything can happen starts to become a reality. Count me in with the 78% that say, yes, this team is a cup contender in 2025. Now, this does not mean that they are the favorite, because certainly the Florida Panthers are the defending cup champions, and they're bringing back pretty much the entire crew. Tkachuk and Barkov, and they brought back Kulikov, and they're bringing back Sam Reinhart and Bennett and Verhaeghe and those guys. So go ahead and count them in first. Edmonton will still have Connor McDavid, unless Leon Draisaitl decides he don't want to come back. Go ahead and put Edmonton up there. I think we have to keep Nathan MacKinnon in Colorado up there. He is the best player in the world. The Rangers, with that deep group led by Panarin and Shesterkin and Net, go ahead and put them up there. Boston just went and paid a boatload of money for Nikita Zadorov and Elias Lindholm. I really, really like Lindholm. I didn't think he was great in that playoff series, even though he scored a game-winning goal in Game 4 in overtime. I mean, I'm a big Elias Lindholm fan. Barry Trout said he was trying to go get in on Elias Lindholm. Now, Lindholm signed a 7-year deal for a bunch of money, but Barry said he was trying to get in on Lindholm. I actually am a big Elias Lindholm fan. But I think you're in that group. I think for right now, you know, the terms of the deal, the 7 years for Brady Shea, he'll be 37 when it's up. The 4 years for Stamkos, he'll be 37 when it's up. The terms of the deal, that's different. What things are going to be like in 3 or 4 years. But right now, the Predators have two lines that can score. They've got a shutdown pair, which Andrew Burnett said yesterday on the program, he's probably going to move Yossi over to the right side. Or I guess I shouldn't say probably. He said that he might. He's considering moving Yossi over to the right side, which makes me think he's going to do it. And he's going to put Brady Shea and Yossi together. You've got the goaltending to win the cup. And you may have a top five. You should have a top five power play with 340 goal scorers, Ryan O'Reilly, and a Norris caliber defenseman on the back end. That's cup contender, baby. Now, there is a difference between cup contender and cup winner, because I would not say that you're the favorite to win the cup. You shouldn't be the favorite to win the cup, but you're definitely contending for it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. I believe our text line is still not working because we have to wait 3 business days from the last text line day of the last company to the new text line day of the new company. I don't understand it. It's above my pay grade. But our text line is out, which means we'll use the YouTube chat or whatever. And, of course, the good old-fashioned phone call, 615-737-1025. Here's the question. Do you really think that the Predators are cup contenders? Not do you want to think it, not do they think it, not did your buddy think. Do you look at this team right now and say, this team can compete for the cup? That's the question. 615-737-1025. And coming up next, there is one stat that last year was not very kind to the Predators, at least for most of the year until they got on their heater. That is not, none of these stats, by the way, are end-all be-alls, but I do think it's a pretty big deal. And I do think that the way the math works out, the Predators might be one of the better teams in the league. I'll explain what that is. We'll do it next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. How have those expectations changed for you?
Well, I think you just adding those guys, they change. I think expectations, they're all, every season's different. Obviously, there's a different set of expectations this year. I think there was an set of expectations last year where we were trying to build a culture and we were trying to find different pieces that fit and how they fit and where they fit. Now we have some big pieces. I still have to, you know, find where they fit. So our expectations is just continue to build the journey that we're on with this group, continue adding. But the most important thing is we keep who we are. And I think that'll be, for me, the battle and the struggle and keep me up at night to get us ready for next season. And the pieces will fit. I just have to make them find a way to fit. So, yeah, expectations is, I guess you can change, but they change every year. It's just a different set of circumstances, but it's hard every year in our league.
There you go. That was Andrew Burdett on the show yesterday. And, you know, he was like, situations and circumstances, they change. Not going to sit there and say, yeah, well, last year we were telling the fans, hey, be patient. Be patient. Who knows what that's going to mean? And this year, here we are on July 2nd, we're talking about the Stanley Cup. I do want to be safe and careful and just remind everybody that as I was saving cuts today, you know, in the audio archives that I have, my personal archives, you know, it's 7/2/24 is the date. And I label everything, you know, by the date and then what it is. So, you know, 7/2/24, Andrew Burnett on expectations. That's how I label the cut. There were a lot of cuts from 7/2/19 about Matt Duchene and competing for a championship and all those kind of things. Matt Duchene said at the time, nobody puts more pressure on himself than he does. Okay. So there's one stat that I looked up today. I actually spent a lot of time going through this. And it is goal differential. If you pull up the standings, they have and you kind of go through and you see the win-loss record and then you see the overtime wins, the regulation wins, the shootout wins. You know, as you go through it, you can kind of see, you know, each different home and away, last 10 versus division. There's one stat, goal differential, which should be pretty simple, right? If you score 5 goals and you give up 3, your goal differential for that game is +2. Over the course of the season, what's your goal differential? It is basically how dominant are you? The Boston Bruins of 2023, the team that lost in the first round of the playoffs but had an all-time regular season, had a goal differential of +128, which was some all-time stuff. So the Predators last year had a goal differential of +21. Now, all of the true contenders, and we talked about that group kind of in the first segment, the Rangers, Edmonton, Florida, those kind of teams, most of the contenders were in that +50 or 60 range. Florida was +68. Edmonton was +57. Dallas was +64. The Rangers were +53. So what I did was I looked at the Predators, again, +21 last year, which is significantly worse than kind of the elites. And I added Jonathan Marchessault's 42 goals. I added Steven Stamkos's 40 goals. And I added Brady Shea's 13. Then I subtracted Kiefer Sherwood's 10, Yakov Trenin's 10, Jason Zucker's 5, Ryan McDonough's 3. And then there were 4 guys that all had 1 goal each, including some guy named Fajimo. Had a goal last year for the Predators. Ian, who the hell's that?
Sammy.
Who in the hell is Fajimo?
They picked him up off of waivers, I believe, from the Kings. Or was it the Kings? Maybe it was someone out west. The Kings might have been the other guy, Jarrett Anderson Dolan, that never played. But anyways, Anaheim, maybe. I can't remember. One of those West Coast teams. They picked him up off of waivers. He didn't last long. And then he got reclaimed by the other team.
So, again, Fajimo scored. So doing the math, you start at +21. There were 32 goals scored last year by guys that aren't on the team anymore. Take those 32 away. That gives you -11. Then there are 95 that were scored by the three of them. Stamkos, Marchessault, and Brady Shea. That adds 95 to it, and you come out with a goal differential of +84. Now, again, the math is not perfect. You know, there's no way to say, well, you know, Stamkos's, you know, some of his goals were fed to him by Kucherov, and Kucherov's not going to be on the Predators this year, so he's not going to, again, it's not perfect. But I feel like the math checks out here. +84 goal differential. That would have been tops in the league by 16. Again, the Bruins team that was an all-time team was +128. Andrew Burnett's President Trophy-winning Panthers were +94. Again, you're +84. So they were +94. When the Predators won the President's Trophy, they were +56. Long story short, goal differential is not everything, but it is something. And I do believe that goal differential is a representation of how good you are. Because if you're squeaking every game out, but you're winning because, let's say, you have a really good goaltender or something like that, then you are more susceptible in the playoffs once you play better teams that have better forwards, better power plays. You are more susceptible to that one goal that you're winning by getting turned in the other direction and losing. So I do think goal differential is important. And again, you went from plus 21, which is not really the contender status, where the contenders last year were living in plus 50 and plus 60, into plus 84, which again would be tops in the league. And I'm not saying this makes you tops in the league. I'm just saying that's where it would put you, is it would put you somewhere around tops in the league. And I do believe in goal differential. I mean, I think that that is, I do think it is a pretty telling stat that when you are in the plus 50s and the plus 60s, you are a contender. It was funny because I went back and I was like, how many teams, you know, is plus 84? Is that a crazy number? And then I saw that Bruins number at plus 128. I'm like, no, that's a crazy number. So the 2019 Lightning, I don't know if you remember the 2019 Lightning, but they were kind of the 23 Bruins before the 23 Bruins were the 23 Bruins. The 2019 Lightning, that was supposedly like an all-time great team. But then they spent the last month of the year with nothing to play for. They drew Columbus, which had decided to push all its chips in the middle by adding Matt Duchene and adding Artemi Panarin and not selling off. And they had Sergei Bobrovsky, and they swept Columbus, or they swept Tampa Bay in the playoffs. But that Tampa Bay team going into those playoffs was every bit the Cup contender, which is why when they won it the next 2 years, it was kind of exercising the demons from the screw up the year before. The 2019 Lightning were plus 103. So it's not like plus 84 is some, you know, for cocked a number that has no chance of happening. No, if you're really, really good, plus 84 is exactly where you belong. So that is a number that kind of gives me some hope. And I said to Andrew Burnett, and I say it to you all. And I had somebody today say to me, you know, oh man, how excited, how fired up are you for the additions the Preds made? I'm like, look, I struggle personally with congratulating people when they make a trade, when they bring somebody in. I struggle with the congratulations on that draft pick because we have no idea if that draft pick's going to be any good. So I don't get excited, or at least I try not to get excited, about making additions and subtractions and things like that, unless it is obvious. Like, unless it is Cody Glass for Connor McDavid, then I'll get excited. But for the most part, I try to kind of temper myself because we always see teams, oh, this guy, this, what a great trade. And then it ends up being like, oh, God, this guy sucks. Kyle Turris. So I try not to get, again, I try not to get too worked up, but just looking at the numbers, I mean, the guys you lost did not score a lot of goals. And that's what this game is all about, obviously. Trennan doesn't score a lot of goals. He's not here anymore. Zucker is actually okay, but he didn't score a lot of goals for you. He's not here anymore. McDonough was a defenseman and scored a lot of goals. You brought in 94 goals. Excuse me, 95. You brought in 95 goals. That's going to up your goal differential. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Ian, by the way, did you see who signed Yakov Trennan to a big deal?
Yeah, I did. Heinze.
John Heinze. I saw that, and I thought, oh, thank God we are done with that bozo.
Multiple years? What was it, like almost three, over $3 million?
I think it was like $3 million for 4 years or something like that.
So, yeah, I mean.
I mean, he gave Trennan a real contract.
Got them a good, we'll see where he ends up playing.
Of course, John Heinze loves the freaking third-line forward that can bang people into the glass but can't score. Of course, John Heinze loves that guy. 615-737-1025. More of your phones. 615-737-1025. We'll hit him coming up next. Plus, what about the salary cap? Because unlike football, the salary cap in the NHL is real. But there is one little mechanism that would not surprise me to see the Predators use. We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman & Company, let's talk Window Nation. That's right. I am getting an education on a daily basis about windows, and it's not because of Window Nation. It's just because I'm learning more about windows. It's fascinating. You want to get those, you know, double-sided, you know, double-pane windows in there that really keep the heat out time this time of the year, or in the winter, keep it in. You want that. You don't want these old windows. If you got the windows that won't open, you got to get them replaced. And it is hot as smoke out there. And inefficient windows will mean high utility bills all year long. Window Nation sells the most energy-efficient windows you can buy. And they were recently ranked high on Forbes' list of best window installation companies. So right now, for every two windows you'll buy, you'll get two windows free, plus zero down and no interest or payments for 2 years. If you've been thinking, you know what, I need to make some changes to my home, I need to, Window Nation, it's a company I trust. I brought them out to my home. They looked at my windows, said, your windows are good. You don't need to replace them. And that was how I knew that I could trust them. And I could tell you about them. So schedule an in-home estimate like I did by calling 866-90-NATION or visiting windownation.com. Again, that's 866-90-NATION, windownation.com. For every two windows you'll buy, you'll get two windows free, zero down, and no interest for 2 years. That's windownation.com.
Are you kind of comfortable with where you are, or do you envision needing to create a little bit more?
Well, I think what I want to do is, and I try to do this with our players, is I'm probably going to look to do a move or two just to create a little bit more separation so that we do have that. But the great thing is that we've got lots of depth within the organization and at a entry level guys that are, you know, young that we can use. So I think we're okay. But I'm probably looking to move probably at least one guy.
That was Barry Trotz yesterday saying, yeah, I think we're okay with the cap, but, you know, we're probably going to have to move a guy. And if you look at capfriendly.com and it's waning days, I believe, Ian, I think there's like three more days and then Cap Friendly goes away forever.
I thought it was now. Maybe it's July 4th. It's very soon. Yeah,
it's very, very soon. The Washington Capitals bought Cap Friendly. I don't know what they get out of it, but they bought Cap Friendly. And so Cap Friendly's going away. And then there's a Puckapedia, I guess, is the new one, but I like Cap Friendly. It's very easy to use. Anywho, Cap Friendly says you're $800,000 over the cap. And this is a real cap. This is not football's cap, where you can go to Roman Josi and give him a signing bonus and add void years to his contract and lower his cap charge from $9.059 million to $2 million. It does not work like that. This is a real cap. But there is one little nugget that I saw over the weekend, and I'm not saying it's Barry Trotz, but I saw it, and I'm like, I think that's Barry Trotz. There was a discussion about long-term injured reserve, or as they call it in the industry, LTIR. Long-term injured reserve is kind of a protection. You know, let's say Roman Josi breaks his leg and is out for the season. Well, it gives the Predators the ability to put Roman Josi on LTIR and then go take that $9.059 million and they can make a trade and add a guy in here to replace Josi so that you're just not stuck with nobody to replace that kind of player. But what the Vegas Golden Knights have done over the last couple of years is they have gamed the system. What you can do is you can take a guy, put him on LTIR. He won't play the rest of the year, but then you activate him when the playoffs start and the salary cap is no longer a thing, and you can have infinity dollars on your team in the playoffs. Vegas is the team with their additions of Noah Hanifin last year and Jack Eichel in the past, and they just keep adding people all the time with zero cap space, and they're like, oh yeah, well, Johnny Joe's got a bum shoulder, so he's on LTIR. And then all of a sudden, it's game one of the playoffs, and Johnny Joe's back in there. And I think Barry Trotz has this trick up his sleeve, because I saw one of the insiders say over the weekend that they talked to a GM who said that they think that LTIR is bullcrap and that teams are taking advantage of it. But the GM noted, I mean, I might want to take advantage of it myself. And that sounded to me like Barry Trotz. You know, Barry was on the show, and we asked him around the trade deadline about LTIR, and he said, hey, our day will come. And so I do wonder if, as far as the cap is concerned, and because this is a real cap, I do have some cap anxiety. I don't know about you guys, but because this is not football, which once I realized the football cap was fake, I just was such a weight off of my shoulders of the anxiety that I felt about, oh, well, if you add this guy, then you can't have that guy. And if you, no. You have whoever you want in football. In hockey, LTIR is kind of a thing, but there are, you know, at least some, you know, if you were to put Roman Josi on LTIR, Roman Josi wouldn't get to play for the Predators. So that's at least worth noting. But I do think that Barry Trotz is prepared to go that route if he wants to go that route during the season. So the only important thing that they have to do is they just have to be under the cap when the season starts. I believe, and now they may have changed it in the CBA, but I believe you can be over the cap during training camp, and that it is only on opening night that you must be under the cap. So the Predators could technically be over the cap, go through training camp, somebody has an injury, say on a defense, and then you ship out Dante Fabbro. But I am like a lot of you, where I do look at these websites, and I see no money on the cap, and I think, what are you going to do if you get to the trade deadline and you do have a cup contender and you do have a team that you think is capable of winning it all? What are you going to do? Well, you can always use LTIR. And I believe, like that unnamed general manager said, who, again, I think, I'm not saying it was Barry, because it could be any general manager that thinks that the system is being gamed, which I believe, but would also say, hey, if I want to get in there and use that LTIR, I'm going to go ahead and use that LTIR. But it sounded to me, I'm like, that sounds like Barry. And so it wouldn't surprise me if Barry's got that trick up his sleeve. Let's go to some of these YouTube chats, you know, people that are weighing in. Somebody says, Jared, I love that Marchessault and Stamkos bring championship experience to the Predators, but I feel they are on the wrong side of 30, and Barry Trotz may have overpaid for players past their prime. I think that is absolutely part of the equation. Is, you know, Vegas said, Kelly McCrimmons, the general manager there, said, we thought we were going to re-sign Jonathan Marchessault. Then on Sunday, he starts talking about 5 years, and it's like, yeah, no, we're not doing you for five. We're not doing that. Here's the question. If you overpay Stamkos in year four, is it worth it if you get Steven Stamkos, and I'm talking about the Steven Stamkos, for 3 years? And I think the answer is probably yes. If you want a specific guy, you have to overpay. If you want a group of guys, then you can pay what you feel comfortable. In the case of Brady Shea, that was the specific guy that they wanted to get. That's why they had to give him a 7-year deal. I was talking with Vingan about this today, and I said, is there any deal that you don't like that they signed, that we look at and say, oh, God, this could be an albatross that could be just a disaster that could. And I said the one that I feared was a Shea deal. And he said, well, that's the longest deal. And I said, that's probably why. The one thing that I do feel pretty certain about is that the big contracts that have weighted the team down in the past, there's three. Ellis, Duchesne, and Johansson, right? We can all agree on that. Ellis's problem was that he was injured. And Ellis got injured before they gave him a contract extension. Remember, he got injured during the Cup final run and had to miss the first half of the 18 season, and then he signed a new contract the next year. Well, Ian, I don't believe that these three guys, any of them, have serious injury concerns in their past.
I don't think so. Stamkos had a serious injury. I think he broke his leg, right?
Yeah, I think that was like 4 years ago, three years
ago. So he's seemed to recover just fine since then. Broken bone kind of thing.
But so
no, other than that, I don't think so.
So I don't think there's anything, you know, that, oh, man, you know, there's a risk there that was with Ryan Ellis. Then Johansson and Duchesne, I felt like we were all investing in, and they were investing in, and we were believing in the potential of what they could be and not what they are. Whereas with Barry Trotz, he's looking at Ryan O'Reilly for what he is. He's looking at Steven Stamkos for what he is. And what those guys are is, those guys are good. Those guys win some games. And I think that's what he's taking advantage of. I do think that there is a fear that these deals could age poorly. And the hope has to be, do not forget about this. The hope has to be that these young guys they've got, that some of them pop. Now, for every five prospects you have, one of them will probably make it. So for every Afanasyev, Tomasino, Tolvanen, Evangelista, Cody Glass, for every one of those guys, only Evangelista right now looks like a legitimate NHL regular. And that's going to be the case with all of these guys down the stretch. Like, that's what it's going to be like between Kimmel and Wood and Schaefer and Svechkov and LaRue, and expect one of those guys to make it. But they've just took a 17-year-old Russian, you know, in the draft, and so then he's coming up, and they took these up. So you're going to need about three or four kids to pop, and then those should be your stars by the time that Stamkos is no longer a star but is doing what Vladimir Tarasenko did this year for Florida. That's got to be the hope. And yes, that guy, in that case, that Stamkos will be overpaid, but the young guys will be underpaid, and that has to be kind of the hope. Somebody says, where do you think the Predators should finish in the division, as top-heavy as the division looks? So I think that the division right now is between three teams: you, Colorado, and Dallas. I do not believe Winnipeg is a contender in the division. St. Louis, I believe, is kind of rebuilding somewhat. Minnesota, kind of rebuilding somewhat. And as long as John Hines is their coach, I'm not worried about Minnesota. And obviously Utah, you know, they suck. So, I mean, I think that you're right there with the rest of the division. Colorado doesn't have your goaltending. They've got Nathan MacKinnon, and you don't, but they don't have your goaltending. Dallas is closer to you in terms of the fact that they've got like 5 20 goal scorers on their team. But I think I'd rather have the Predators' defense led by Josi than their defense led by Heiskanen. So I think it's a three-way battle. Winnipeg probably makes the playoffs this upcoming year because they've got good goaltending. But I don't think Winnipeg is at the level that you are after what you did. So I think you're all three are right there. If I had to rank it today, I'd probably rank it Dallas 1, Nashville 2, Colorado 3. And I'm only saying that because I don't think Landeskog is ever coming back. And because I think that while Colorado has great frontline players, right? MacKinnon, Makar, Rantanen. They are really just kind of paper clipping it together throughout the rest of the roster. Like last year, they tried it with Johansson.
I saw some report this weekend, I think it was from Frank Saravalli, that said their cap situation for Colorado is hellacious was the word.
Yeah, because they have five defensemen and they're over the cap. Like, they don't have a sixth defenseman as of today, and they're over the cap. And so Colorado, you know, they've got great frontline players, but, you know, you've got two lines that can score right now. So I would go Dallas 1, Nashville 2, Colorado 3. That's just me. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. There is a player that we can probably say goodbye to. In fact, everybody, I think, is ready to say goodbye, including the Predators. There's one problem. I mean, I'm not sure that anybody else wants this guy. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
And as Glass tried to set up the veteran defense, but now Glass comes back in with the puck for Colton Sissons. Sissons back, and the score! Cody Glass! Predators take a 1-0 lead. Giving it back, and the shot taken there by Alexander Carrier deflects away. Novak put it down in front to score! Cody Glass, he has two tonight. The Predators have a 2-1 lead. Spinning from out high, shot broken up. McCarron got to it. Now here's the long shot. If he gets a score.
It is. That's the hat trick.
Cody Glass gets the hat trick.
Cody Glass, the hat trick as the Preds beat the Avs 5-1. the Smashville faithful. How special is this day for you, and what does this mean to you?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. You know, it's one thing to score a hat trick, but standing ovation after the game, that's something I'll remember. Yeah, that's something I'll remember forever. You know, it's made me emotional, pretty emotional guy, but no, it's a special feeling. I never thought I would have that in my life, and you know, I'm incredibly grateful.
It's something I'll remember for the rest of my life because it's the only moment in my career where I actually did anything in the NHL. Adam Vingan texted me as we ran that cut. He said, that was the game we went to. Priceless memories, said Adam. So Adam and I went to that. It was a Saturday night game right before the trade deadline when the Predators were in the midst of that heater. It was the they are for real game where Cody Glass popped in a hat trick out of nowhere. And one of my favorite stories about that game is that I looked at Adam early in the game and I said, I don't think Cody Glass can make it. I said, I mean, I'm pulling for him, but I don't think he's going to make it. And then he goes out and has a hat trick, which is like, you know, the typical kind of Jared Stillman thing. Well, with the Predators technically being over the cap right now, everybody is assuming that somebody has to go. Barry Trotz has already said, somebody, I'd like to deal somebody. And the obvious person is Cody Glass. Here are the candidates to be let go via the cap. Tommy Novak at 3.5, but the way that Andrew Burnett talked about the opportunity they're going to give Tommy Novak yesterday on the program made it sound like, no, they're going to ride or die with Novak for at least this upcoming year. Cody Glass at 2.5. Luke Shen at 2.75, though I'm not sure you'll be able to find a taker on Shen. Plus, Shen is a serial winner and it's a depth defenseman and, you know, the things that Barry Trotz likes. And Dante Fabro at $2 million. So here's the deal. Everybody yesterday just assumed they'll get rid of Cody Glass. Can I ask to whom? Who's going to take a forward that's making $2.5 million and had 6 goals last year, 3 of which came in one game? Now, if we could get Hal Gill on the phone with some of the GMs across the league, Hal came on the show a couple years ago. He's going to be a superstar. But I think the cat's out of the bag when it comes to Cody Glass. So to me, here are your options. You can either look to move off of Fabro, who I do think somebody will take at $2 million. I think there is a team out there that could use an extra defenseman that has cap space or that could get rid of somebody else with cap space to be able to add Fabro, and they'll turn around and give you a fifth in exchange for Dante Fabro, and you'll clear $2 million worth of cap space. But again, do you really want to do that? I'm not a Fabro fan either, but given the fact that right now you've got 7 defensemen, somebody gets hurt, knock on wood, I would prefer Fabro in the lineup than I would be Willsby or Del Gazzo or some of these other guys that Barry Trotz mentions every time we talk about defense. Cody Glass is the odd man out. So in order to do this, here's what you're going to have to do. And I thought about this on Saturday morning. And Ian, you want to know when I thought about this Saturday morning?
Brushing your teeth?
No. That was when I was stunned that Ryan Hartman went for a first-round pick. Good memories. But for me, it was when the Predators traded out of the second-round pick, their second-round pick. I think they took that Teddy Stiga kid in the second round, and then they traded out of the second-round pick they had. They picked up a third and Minnesota's third next year in the deal. And I thought, that's a trade chip. That third-round pick is a chip. You know, Barry Trotz is looking at a win-now team, and he's going for it with Stamkos. He's got guys he's drafted. Like, Joakim Kimmel's 20 years old. They just drafted a 17-year-old Russian. They just drafted, like, an 18-year-old American, you know, in the second round. They got young guys in the pipe. So I could see Barry taking that extra third rounder. I mean, they got a boatload of picks. I could see Barry taking an extra third rounder and attaching it to Cody Glass and shipping him off to a team like Anaheim or Buffalo or somebody that's just trying to tread water this year. And they'll stick Cody Glass out there. They'll lose with him, but they'll put him out there and he'll play a little bit or they'll waive him or whatever. But in order to get rid of him, you're going to have to attach something to him. Because by now, the cat's out of the bag. He ain't very good. And it's obvious that, you know, you're going to have to move on. I would not be a fan of just moving Fabbro to move Fabbro. Now, Robbie texted me and said the guy to move is Fabbro, and then they can call up Delgazzo if somebody gets hurt, and there's something to that. But I'll say this about Fabbro. If somebody's out for an extended period of time, who would you rather have in the lineup for that extended period of time, Delgazzo or Fabbro? I'd much rather have, when it comes to Cody Glass, I'd much rather have LaRue or Svechkov or these kids I've never, you know, whatever. I'd rather have them, give them a chance, than give Cody Glass his 19,000th chance. And because that pick belongs to Minnesota, Ian, you know what I think you could probably do?
What's that?
Well, teams love reacquiring their own picks that they've traded, right?
Sometimes, yeah.
Like, oh, we traded our third rounder and this deal at the deadline, and obviously it didn't work. So, let's, you know, we got an opportunity to get it. If you've got Minnesota's third in next year's draft, we already saw John Hines drop his pants to sign Yakov Trenin. If there's anybody on the planet that still thinks Cody Glass can play, it's him. Would you trade John Hines, Ian, his third-round pick, would you trade that back to him if he would take Cody Glass off your hands?
Sure.
I think you should do it. So I think you're going to get rid of Glass, but you're going to have it's going to cost you. And it's going to, again, what's a third-round pick when you've got as many picks and as many prospects as the Predators have? It's like the sixth-round pick the Predators dealt to get Jason Zucker last year. I'm like, look, I'm against rentals, but I'll deal a sixth-rounder to get a second-line forward any day of the week. But, yeah, Cody Glass, it's got to be the odd man out. Somebody says into the YouTube chat, what I'm most afraid of are injuries. We got crazy lucky last year with the team getting older. I see a lot of the prospects getting a shot when they weren't planned to. So if injuries happen, LTIR, and then you can trade or you can do whatever. And, again, knock on wood because I don't want anything to happen to Steven Stamkos, but let's say something happens to Stamkos, LTIR, go get somebody else, and you've got the trade capital to be able to do that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025. Here is my big concern. My big concern are the length of these contracts. In the case of Stamkos, he'll be 37 years old when the deal is over. In the case of Jonathan Marchessault, he'll be 38 years old when the deal's over. In the case of Brady Shea, he'll be 37 when the deal's over. In the case of Roman Josi, he'll be 38. Forsberg will be 35. And UC Saros will be 37. Most guys in sports aren't very good when they're 36 years old. It's just a reality. And yesterday, the two teams that gave you the players we're all excited about had their spin on why they made the choices they decided to make. Somebody has to be right. Somebody has to be wrong. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. And let's give something away. I'm in a good mood. Be caller 5 right now at 615-737-1025. And you'll win a pair of tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco at Bridgestone Arena on July 21st. Good luck on that one. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game.